this evening from this passage of Scripture, and trust to be a blessing to you as we quickly study this tonight. And I believe as you study the New Testament in particular that you will note very easily how the Lord used the Apostle Paul to minister to a variety of people in a variety of places. And as you study and trace the steps of the Apostle Paul throughout the book of Acts, and then as you read the letters that God allowed him to write, of course, we know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but he used human penmen, and he used Paul to write a number of these New Testament books that we study. And as you begin to make yourself familiar with his behavior, I believe that you will quickly note and you will see his love and his concern for those that God gave him the opportunity to minister to. And I believe that to be the case, especially as you look at the believers in Thessalonica. It seems as if, as you study the book of Acts, that his time in the city of Thessalonica was brief. But you will note that there was a great connection that was made between the Apostle Paul and these believers. We find that as we look at this portion of Scripture and just looking at a couple of verses here in 2 Thessalonians 1, and then we'll go back into the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want you to know a phrase, and we'll use a similar expression for the title of the lesson this evening, but look in verse number 3. The Apostle Paul is speaking to these believers in Thessalonica, and he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." And I want to have this thought this evening, the growth of the Thessalonians, the growth of the Thessalonians. Notice in the middle of the verse it says, "because that your faith groweth exceedingly." As we think about that word faith, we understand that the idea of this word, as it's used in many places throughout the New Testament, is the belief of the believer and the body of doctrine, if you will. You think about Jude as he's writing there, and he says that I'm challenging you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I've said this as we've looked at that portion of Scripture in the past, you cannot contend for something that you do not know. And so it's absolutely essential that we know the faith, that we know the body of doctrine, the teaching that has been entrusted to us. And so as we look at this verse of Scripture and really that thought, we'll look at verse number 4 as well as we close this evening. But I want you to think about the growth of the Thessalonians. Think about this. Go back to the first book, if you will, just a few pages over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And I want you to notice that the first epistle reveals to us the concern that Paul had for these believers. It reveals the concern that he had. We know that as Paul ministered there in Thessalonica, that there were some difficulties that came that they were dealing with, and those that were following Paul and persecuting, they came into Thessalonica, and Paul was not there very long because of that. And so you find as you come to the third chapter that really three different times in these few verses of Scripture, Paul mentions about the faith of these believers there in Thessalonica. Notice in verse number 1, he says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ." And so we see that Paul is saying he could no longer forbear, and so therefore he sends Timothy, according to verse number 2. But what was the purpose of sending Timothy? It begins to be revealed to us in verse number 2 and then fully in verse number 5. Notice at the end of verse number 2, "to establish you and to comfort you concerning" what? Concerning your faith. And we find that he begins to reveal to us why he has this concern for these believers and why he would be moved to send Timothy and to have this concern. It says this in verse number 3, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." And so Paul was concerned for these believers in Thessalonica and how they were maturing in Christ. How are they growing in their faith and their beliefs, the body of doctrine? How were they progressing in their walk with the Lord? He then says this in verse number 5, "For this cause when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Paul wanted to get a report. It's as if Timothy was going back to Thessalonica for the purpose of getting an intel report and coming back to Paul and delivering the findings of this report. Here's how they're doing. Here's how the believers in Thessalonica are doing. Notice he says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, who's that? That's Satan. He mentions in chapter number 2 and verse number 18 that Paul says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Listen, we know that the enemy seeks to hinder. He's seeking to devour and destroy. And he says here, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. And notice what Paul's concern is, and our labor be in vain. He's concerned for these believers in Thessalonica. The concern is revealed in this first epistle. We know that he says this in verse number 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and so the mission is accomplished, if you will, it's fulfilled, and Timothy was sent to find out and to have this understanding. I need to know about their faith, and I need to understand how they're doing. And it says that now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us, notice what he says, brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. And so those two things are mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 1, and we're going to see hopefully this evening, the connection here. He says that he brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, notice what he says, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. He continues in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and notice again, he's going to mention, and that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so Paul is concerned for these believers. I would say this tonight, as you study the life of the Apostle Paul, but even as you would think about the instruction that God has given to those that are in places of spiritual leadership, there's a concern on the part of spiritual leaders for the growth of those that God has privileged them to minister to. And as you have that concern, and as Paul voices and makes known here in this chapter, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 in particular, it is evident that he was deeply concerned for these believers. Now, he receives a good report, and as he receives that good report, he hears about their faith and their charity. But I want you to consider, as you move into the second letter, the second epistle in where we started this evening, I want you to notice how Paul begins. And we read verse number 3, but I want to start in verse number 1. And I want you to see that how in the first epistle, the concern of the Apostle Paul is revealed to us. But here in the second epistle, it records his praise. I could almost say it this way. You see that Paul is really, in a certain sense, he's commending these believers. He's praising God, and he's commending these believers. Notice in verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's important to note that the time between the writing of 1 and 2 Thessalonians is quite brief. In fact, it seems as if the second letter is written very shortly after the first letter would be delivered because of some further confusion and false teaching and what have you. And so they were in need of instruction, and Paul is going to provide them instruction really specifically in this book, the correction that you find concerning the return of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And so we find, though, that as Paul is introducing, he speaks about, he's obviously the human penman, but he's writing there with Silvanus and Timotheus. Now remember, Timothy was the one in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians that Paul sent. And he had brought that report. But now, a short time later, and we don't know exactly how many months had passed, but we know that it seems as if it was a very brief period of time between the writing of the first and second epistle. Notice how Paul says in verse number 3 concerning these two aspects and what it was that caused him to rejoice, to praise God. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet." Notice number 1, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now think about that. He didn't just say that your faith groweth. Every word of God is pure. Amen. These are not Paul's words. He's not just embellishing commendation that he's giving to these believers in Thessalonica. No, all scripture, every word of scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so when the word of God says that your faith groweth exceedingly, the Holy Spirit of God penned that word through the human penman, the Apostle Paul, and that word exceedingly means to increase beyond measure. Now think about that. Does that not, it helps us to understand why Paul is saying that we are bound to thank God always for you. He had this concern, and he understood his entrance into the city, and he understood those that had been causing him problems in previous cities along his journey, and as they followed him and caused havoc and so on and so forth, that Paul is in this position where he's concerned for these believers. He's concerned for them because of the afflictions that they would endure. He's concerned for them because the tempter, the enemy is seeking to destroy and to devour, but now he's saying to them, I've understood it, I'm praising God, I'm rejoicing. Why? Number 1, that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now understand tonight, this is not the believers in Thessalonica writing back to Paul saying, hey, just so you know, our faith has grown exceedingly. This is the Holy Spirit of God taking note of the spiritual growth and development of the believers in this church. And he says that their faith groweth exceedingly. Notice, it continues at the end of verse number 3. It says this, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And of course, we understand the importance of charity or love. We can read the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter number 13 with regard to the commandment, the new commandment that you love one another. We understand that we can look at the 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter that's devoted to charity, to love. Though we do all of these things but have not charity, right? And you understand the importance of charity, of love, and we're to love. And he says to these same believers, if you note back in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4 and verse number 9, he speaks to them specifically about brotherly love, charity. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Notice what he says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. That's great. But notice how he ends the verse of Scripture. He says, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And now, as he writes in the introduction to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, he says, I'm not only rejoicing and praising God because your faith groweth exceedingly, but I'm praising God, I'm rejoicing because the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It's increasing more and more as I challenged you in the first letter that I sent you in chapter 4 and verse number 10. What a joy to think about the Apostle Paul having the concern that he had in the first epistle and having that desire to see the growth of those that God had privileged him to serve. What a joy to see that growth. It's a blessing. You think about this as parents, and I'm not seeking to liken those in spiritual leadership to parents, but if we could use the illustration or the analogy this evening, you think about parents, you can think about teachers, you can think about a number of different events in life and in different arenas of life, but parents, you think about as their children are growing and developing and making progress, the joy that a parent has in seeing their children make that progress. Next month, Kimberly is going to have a piano recital. She teaches a number of piano students, and they'll have a piano recital. And as a teacher, you're teaching your students, and then you get to see your students grow and develop. And as you are ministering, if we could use that word in that sense, and teaching, and you see that growth and you see that development as a teacher, what does it do? It brings you joy. Well, in like manner, this evening, as we look at the Apostle Paul as a spiritual leader, that he's had the opportunity to invest his life to seek to instruct, to give truth and teaching to these believers, and then he receives the report and he's rejoicing. Why? Because they're growing. They're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian life is a life of growth. It really is. It's a life of growth. I hope this evening that as if we would look back on our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that we would be able to chart some progress, some growth in our Christian life. I hope this evening that as we would do that process of evaluation and self-examination, that we could say, hey, listen, there's been, not pridefully, not arrogantly, but there's been some growth in my Christian life. There's some things that I know about God and about the Word of God that I didn't know before. Do you remember when you first got saved? Man, somebody would say something about a Bible character and you never even heard of the Bible character. You had no idea who they were. They told you to turn to a book of the Bible and you didn't know. You had to look. You had those little thumb tabs. And if you still use them, it's fine. But you had no idea. I remember the first day I sat in Bible college. I've shared the story with some people privately, but my first day in Bible college was my 1 year spiritual birthday. I'd been saved for 1 year on the first day of Bible college. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know anything. I really didn't. I was just a babe in Christ. I had not grown much at all. That Monday morning of Bible college class, Old Testament survey was the first class, and that professor said, pull out a pen and a paper and write all the books of the Old Testament in order. Man, that was a bad day, man. I knew a couple of them, and then I knew some of the names of some of the books, but where they went on the paper, I had no idea. And I think about the growth in my life personally, but you should see and be able to chart the growth in our lives. We spent 3 months dealing with the subject matter of teach me. And as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I wonder this evening if God would say of us what he said of the believers in Thessalonica. I wonder if he could say of us that our faith groweth exceedingly. I wonder if he could say of us that, speaking of our charity, of our love one toward another, that it aboundeth. As we look at the passage of Scripture, it's interesting. I believe there's a great connection between verse 3 and 4. Notice in verse number 4, we won't spend a ton of time here, but in verse number 4 it says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Notice what he says, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now remember, and we won't take the time, but back in chapter number 3 of 1 Thessalonians, he spoke about their afflictions. And you think about here as he mentions about all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You know what I find? I believe that there's a connection between verse 3 and 4. Really, there's growing in verse number 3 and there's suffering in verse number 4. You know, often those two things are connected. Often as we grow, we begin to encounter trials. And as we're tried, we grow. It's interesting how they're connected, isn't it? And we find that as the Holy Spirit of God would give His Word and breathe His Word and give Paul, the human penman, these words, he speaks in verse number 3 about their growth. But then in verse number 4 about their sufferings, the persecutions and the tribulations that they endure. And again, I believe that as we go through our life that we must understand that at times as we're dealing with those times of affliction, those persecutions and those tribulations, that you know, God is growing us through those things. He's developing us. He's teaching us. And there are certain things that we can only learn in those particular settings. You think about many arenas in life, and you think about some of the problems that we've encountered in life, and you think about, man, I learned how to do this, that, or the other thing. Well, in the Christian life, we begin to learn much about our God as we suffer, as we deal with those tribulations, as we deal with those persecutions. If you read the book of 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul mentions much, 1 Timothy, he mentions much about his sufferings and the things that he endured. And it's kind of interesting as you begin to read through all of that passage of Scripture, and I've gone back and forth. It's 2 is what I wanted to speak of, but in 2 Timothy chapter number, really in chapter number 1 and 2, Paul is encouraging Timothy. And in chapter number 2 in particular, Paul is encouraging Timothy to endure hardness. We spoke about that a little bit on Sunday morning. Because he lives, I will endure hardness. It was our second point in the message on Sunday morning. But it's interesting because Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 3 to endure hardness. But then in verse number 10, he talks about how personally he's endured all things. And then in chapter number 3, in verse number 11, notice what Paul says, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I had endured. But notice what he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then he says this in verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But we have a faithful God. Notice as we close this evening in chapter number 4, in verse number 17, notice what he says. If you look back, he speaks about those, Alexander the coppersmith in verse number 14, who did him much evil, and so on and so forth. But notice in verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notice in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Notice what he says, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and because of the deliverance that God provided him, it caused him to have this expectation that he mentions in verse number 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we look at the believers in Thessalonica, we know that in the first epistle, if you think about their growth and you speak about the growth of the Thessalonians, you find in the first epistle that Paul's concern for these believers is revealed. He's concerned for them, so much so that he says, I needed to send Timothy, and I needed to send him to find out, to know your faith. And then as he comes to this second letter that he writes to these believers, now he's praising God, he's rejoicing, he's commending these believers. Why? Because their faith groweth exceedingly. Because their love, their charity of every one of them toward one another aboundeth. And we cannot help but note the connection between the growth of verse number 3 and the suffering in verse number 4. And how often God uses trials to grow us. This evening, as we think about the concern of this spiritual leader, the Apostle Paul, and we think about what the Holy Spirit of God says about these believers in Thessalonica, I wonder if we'd evaluate our own lives, what would God say about our growth, about our progress in our Christian walk? Are we growing? Are we growing exceedingly? And I hope we could say that we are. Not pridefully, not arrogantly, but just that, man, I want to have that teachable spirit. I want God to teach me. I want to grow. I want to be able to contend for the faith. I want to be able to give an answer to every man of the hope that lieth within me. I want to search the Scriptures. I want to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as God would help us to grow exceedingly and to abound in our love one toward another. The believers in Thessalonica, they were growing. This evening, the Christian life is a life of growth. There ought to be growth evidenced in our lives. Today, we ought to be able to chart our walk with God and see that it's closer and we're growing if we evaluate quarterly, monthly, annually, however you want to look at it, but you see growth in our walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that is contained therein. We thank you for these believers in Thessalonica. We thank you for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to evaluate our own lives. And Lord, that we would evaluate our growth. God, that you'd help us to grow exceedingly, as it's said of these believers in Thessalonica. Help us, Lord, to know you, as Paul says in Philippians 3, that I may know him, Lord, that we just have a desire to know you and to know your word. Bless our time of prayer. We thank you again for the privilege. We pray that you'd be exalted through all that we say and do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer?